delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew. Now, we're talking about beef stew.
Beef stew. Try this beef stew.
Try this beef stew. Ow. Yes, sirree, Bob. Welcome to another great show. Welcome to Monday Night Urban, you know, the Urban Talk Show with your man DJ Big Stu and my gracious host right by my side, the Capper.
Hey!
Yeah, he always come on crazy. Why you never come on the same way, man? Why I always got to be getting scared or something and jumping in my feet every time you come on the show?
New day, new action.
Yeah, it's a new day. You're right about that, but you know what? For some reason, the same topic still is in the news today about the, you know, well, today's topic, y'all, is celebrity family, you know, how do they deal with death? You know what I mean? And we're dealing that based on the whole Whitney Houston situation, because more and more and more every day after the while of funeral, the day of the funeral, and now a couple of days after the funeral, they're still talking about how they treated Bobby Brown. Now you got Jesse Jackson. You know, the Reverend Jesse Jackson spoke out about that, Cap.
Yeah.
You know, he went on to say, man, that he said that first of all, let me put this out there. He says that Sissy Houston did not see none of the stuff that was going on. Her nor Bobby Christina saw anything that was going on. So it was, you know, it's probably those family members who they really are trying to act like, you know, they're the ones that's really leeching right now and trying to act like they're somebody and being there at need. You know those type of family members. You ain't seen them until they figure they can get their hands out. Because whoever's doing this, well, basically they said, remember the reports was he had an entourage of 9?
Yeah.
Well, the Reverend Jesse Jackson said he only had with Bobby Brown it was only 4 or 5 people. So that would lead you to believe it was Bobby, his son, his daughter, and maybe 2 security guards. Or 1 security guard.
Yeah.
Like the first reports were said. He said he felt that the Houston family could have really made, you know, he saw that the Houston family could have really prepared him better. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
They could have prepared, you know, accommodate him and his family better. But one thing I didn't really like, Cap, is one of the family members had made a statement. Like, they was like, you know, we want to welcome him, and, you know, because they was talking about, we're going to get into that later, but, you know, she was supposed to be slipped off after the funeral, little Bobby Christina, and went and took some drugs and got to spend the night getting high off of drugs.
I don't know if I want to believe that one.
I know. I don't want to know, too. But that's what was said. You know, that's what another close friend of the family. There's not so many close friends of the family just leaking out stuff. You know, how do you call those people close friends of the families when they just leaking out stuff?
Yeah,
well, this
is inside of gossip. Gossipers, that's what they are.
Yeah. So basically what they said, that you know, she was upset. They saying that Bobby Christina was upset at because they said Bobby Brown was get ready to make a little feud. That's what one report, that's what the family member said. Now, check this out. Here's the twist. The family member said that Bobby Brown made a little scene, and that's what got Bobby Christina upset and made her get mad. Now, the Reverend, the great Reverend Jesse Jackson that all those black people believe in, said Bobby Brown handled it respectful and left respectful. He said that he felt that they could have accommodated him better. That is his daughter. They moved him around from the front row and they moved him to the back. And he said himself he tried to talk to Bobby to ask Bobby to stay, and Bobby felt really, you know, he felt really disrespected. He chose to leave. And that's what made the daughter mad, because she seen what happened, how they treated her father.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Say that again?
I could imagine.
Yeah, so that's what's going down. Now the new thing is, you know, they, you know, I don't know, that right there, and I'm seeing that coming from Jesse Jackson, but I'm glad that Jesse Jackson said that Sissy and Bobby Christina did not have nothing to do with it. They didn't know. They found out later that all this was going on when he left.
Yeah, you said, it's always those people that are, like, indirect who went through a lot, who've had a lot of hearsay up to this point, and now they feel it's their duty to act upon it. They feel it's up to them to usher the situation, which is ridiculous because they have nothing to do with it.
And the messed up part about it is how do now? What should we do with celebrities like that? Now it seems like a lot of times when celebrities die like that, like all right, let's say Princess Diana, when she died, it was speculations on how she. It wasn't really a car crash. Was it a murder? You know, the Queen supposed to not had liked her. You know, you remember there was a little conspiracy going out in the air there. I don't know if you remember that.
Yeah, I remember.
So you know. And then you got, you know, the Elvis situation, you know, when he said his family is some members, the colonel and his wife, Priscilla, was fighting over, you know, Elvis' estate. You have Elizabeth Taylor, her four kids is right now, as we speak right now, fighting over her estate.
Yeah, wasn't there a fight over the jewelry as well?
Well, the jewelry now, peep the jewelry. $150 million in jewelry got donated to the AIDS Foundation. They couldn't fight over it. She donated the whole thing, what her jewelry thing was worth.
Hmm.
It was worth $150 million.
Wow.
And she donated that whole thing to the AIDS Foundation. They couldn't get that. But they got about, but let me tell you what they got to, that they fighting over. From 600, it could be anywhere in the range from $600 million to $1 billion.
Hmm.
So that's how much Elizabeth Taylor was worth. She had a $150 million on the side, just in jewelry.
Mm-hmm.
So you know she was never going broke.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's ridiculous that they fight, but it's that almost seems inevitable. You know, when you got people that, once they start getting things in their mind, maybe they feel like they're the favorite. Maybe they feel like the other sibling doesn't know what they're doing. So then you get the tug of war. The person said, well, I was the one that was always around.
Mm-hmm. Now, let me ask you this. Out of four, it's just four of us. Now, we got $600 million to $1 billion. There's no possible way we could split that down between four of us and live comfortably and don't have to fight and disgrace our mother's name. There's no way that we could do that? $600 million?
Yeah, I mean, hey, from our end, it's a lot different, you know. I mean, like, a lot of siblings, they end up kind of like rivals. Because, again, they start taking claims. Like,
she had, like, nine husbands, so I guess they all don't got the same father, I presume that, you know.
Yeah, but even without that, even if all of the siblings were from two parents, they... A lot of times you'll get the one that says, well, I'm the one that's always good with the money, or this one wasted the money. This one never really cared. This one didn't come around when mom needed them, you know, so they start throwing that out. And somewhere within that, someone gets in their head and someone puts the battery in their back and says, you know what, you should control everything because you know what you're doing. And that's when mm-hmm. the fuse starts. Sometimes it starts with good intentions. Well, I know what I'm doing. And then that money started looking real good to them.
I found it strange that they worship Ray J breaking down and crying, but disrespected Bobby Brown. And Ray J is the date that she's doing on the scandal, and Bobby Brown was actually her ex-husband. But I found that kind of strange. Now, don't get me wrong. I know how Ray J was cool. Respect to Ray J. No disrespect to Ray J himself. I'm talking about as the family. I found that you treated Ray J much better than you treated the girl's father.
Yeah, well, again, I mean, they still feel like he had something to do with what led to her demise. I mean, but if they look, well, you know, I don't want to start calling people out, but I don't think Ray J is squeaky clean. Let me just say it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Let me ask you, they broke up in 2007. Am I right?
I believe so, yeah.
Now it's 2012. If they divorced in 2000, how do you hold him accountable? First of all, we don't even know if she was on drugs. So, you know, that haven't even came out yet. They haven't found no drugs in her system as of yet.
Mm-hmm.
So while we're even talking about drugs, we're talking about she took some, you know, some prescription medicine and drinking, and that's what so far that's what we're saying. So why is it if it's not drugs? I think the fact that they keep blaming Bobby makes you think that it is drugs. Because they wanted to prepare people for the, all right, it's going to come out that she was high, overdose.
Yeah, and it's also because of the coincidence. I mean, you know, even prescription drugs are drugs. So one would assume, well, maybe she was trying to get high, but it could have very well just been an accident. She's medicated.
Yeah, yeah.
I wasn't thinking, you know. A lot of people don't think about that. I've seen people who take prescription medications ready to drink, and I had to stop them. Like, dude, you know, you might kill yourself doing this.
Mm-hmm.
And they weren't thinking about it. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, she probably wasn't thinking about it.
Especially when you got juice and you Whitney Houston and damn near any doctor want to be your doctor, they will cater to you to get you any prescription medicine you need. If you tell them, like they said, I'm going on the road for 2 months. I need you to get me this. And you're going to want to keep Whitney Houston as your client. So you're going to cater to her. Any doctor will do that.
Yeah.
Unless you're that one doctor that's squeaky clean and you're going to be like, all right, I can't do this, Whitney, you know.
Hey, even the squeaky clean ones and enough money put in their face, I don't know.
Exactly.
They might be tempted.
Doctors and lawyers are basically the same type of guys, you know. Money talks with them.
Yeah.
And it's the crazy, you know, like I said, I just found that crazy, man. Like, they was making a big thing of Ray J, and they just keep putting Bobby. I mean, I think Miss Sissy Houston herself, the dignified situation, she should publicly apologize to Bobby Brown. For real, like, yo, listen, I'm sorry, man. I mean, after everything died down and after she finished mourning, because obviously she's mourning and she's hurt, and it probably hurt her more to hear, because it's the talk of the internet, you know, it's the talk of everything, how they treated him. So that's injury over sadness already.
Mm-hmm.
That adds to the injury and that adds to the tragedy. So, you know, she probably, you know, like, why couldn't y'all just let this man sit down for Bobby Christina? Then the rumors is, oh, that thing shocked her and she jumped in the car, she left, because they was frantically looking for her.
Mm-hmm.
They was running around for a whole day looking for her right out, because she was supposed to go with the people to, you know, while everybody else went to eat. They didn't go to, you know, when they go bury the person.
Mm-hmm.
The mother and them to go that. They went to some place, some eatery, some local eatery that threw something for them there. You know what I mean? That I guess gave the funeral reception at the, you know, I guess they donated that for that. So they went over there and ate. And she was supposed to go with them to bury her mother and have some time by herself, supposedly. And supposedly she detoured off and they couldn't find her. And, you know, she got a little money, so they she was supposed to be somewhere in Tampa.
Mm.
You know, getting high.
I think she
probably just went to see her father. That's probably the truth of the matter. They just saying get high. I could see her saying, let me go see my dad, man. This is, you know. She might have wanted to see one of her girlfriends for a second, but I could see her jumping on the plane and going to see her dad. So now they talk about the whole family. They talking about getting her in rehab now. That's the talk now, getting her in rehab.
Mm.
The so-called friends of the family are saying.
Yeah, man. If that was the case, why would they wait till now? Like, that's the alarm. Is the mother had to pass away? You know,
they say you know, they trying to reach her before they see the coming of her mother and her, and I don't know, maybe, well, you know, they said it's hard to lose your mother and your lifestyle that you've been living in one shot.
Mm-hmm.
I believe it's more harder than lose her mother, because she's going to have her mother's estate, so her lifestyle is basically going to stay the same. You know?
Yeah.
If Whitney Houston had, and the messed up part, oh, this is really the messed up part. The family member mentioned he had the audacity to say, you know, why would we be like that? Whitney's money supported Bobby Brown's kids for many years.
Wow.
I mean, whoever the spokesman is for the family, he should be shot. He should be hung and shot, man. This guy is just making it worse. Like, every quote coming out of it, I mean, she need to be like, listen, nobody speak for the family. Let the Winans or somebody speak for them. Let Jesse Jackson speak for the family. Let Aretha Franklin or Dionne Warwick, somebody that's used to being on the press and used to dealing with press in this situation, speak for the family. Stop letting those cousins that think they security now speak for the cousins.
Yeah.
They're going to be around Sissy for a whole while and hold her down, and then next thing you know, they got a plan of their own. You know, Aunt Sissy, you know I've been trying to build this restaurant over here. I want to put it in Whitney's name. It's going to be cousins coming out the woodworks like that, and I hate to say it, but you know and I know that's the truth.
Oh, yeah. I mean, this is Doxy their second time, their second try, I'd say. I could imagine that they tried to come out the woodworks years ago.
Yeah.
Successful, and now they have a better chance because there's less recourse.
Vulnerability, too, you know?
Yeah.
It's going to take a while for the mother to grasp the fact, but she got a lot of strong people around her. So, you know, she got a lot of strong black people around her. There's going to be a lot of strong black people visiting her for, you know, the days to come. You know, I'm talking about Jesse Jackson, Al Sharpton, and you know, even not even just black people. It's going to be strong people, whether they white, they black. Anybody who was a Whitney Houston fan is going to visit the, you know, is going to do that. You know.
Mm-hmm.
The next half of the show.
Well, hey.
Huh?
Well, before you get to that.
Go ahead.
Let's talk about, when I talk about, just to kind of add to the celebrity thing, like I noticed, man, just, and I'm kind of just focusing on the black actors,
mm-hmm.
and the black celebrities, I should say, but a lot of them, over the last few months, like toward the end of 2011 into 2012,
mm-hmm.
have passed. You know, just speaking of celebrity deaths, you know.
Yeah, a lot of actors passed.
Don Cornelius. You know, Etta James.
Don Cornelius was actually overshadowed by Whitney Houston's death. They died, like, basically almost the same, you know, right back to back. And we were celebrating Don, but then Whitney died right there, and we just forgot about it. They didn't even talk about Don's funeral. Why did, you know, now that's kind of, I know his family might be hurt, because they're probably saying, my father don't deserve a big funeral on television?
Yeah, well, it depends. Maybe not, you know.
But let me ask you. Now, this is a real twist, Craig. Is it, now, Whitney Music crossed over. We know that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Don Cornelius is known for bringing black faces to television. Do you think the comparisons have something to do with it?
What do you mean?
The politics of, well, Whitney, you know how they... Let's say the old saying of, oh, we'll take Michael Jackson and Michael Jordan, but we don't like the rest.
I mean, well, you got to look at it like this. I mean, Don Cornelius, he is iconic. You know, there's no denying that. But he was never a superstar.
Hmm.
You know what I'm saying? This woman, like, movies like The Bodyguard and the I Will Always Love You song, it was over the top. I mean, that all people talked about when The Bodyguard came out was that movie and that song. So, I mean, and she had hits before that. So I think that's what it is. You know, Don Cornelius, yeah, he was a pioneer. He was heavily influential in actually introducing artists, black artists, into the mainstream. But he never was a superstar.
Oh, man, I might have to beg to differ with you on that. Now, I'm not, I agree with you on some points, but to say he's not a superstar, I mean, this man.
No, I'm talking about
superstar.
I'm talking about being considered a superstar.
Okay,
matter of fact, no, I stand by what I said. He's an icon. He's not a superstar. You can be an icon without being a superstar.
Okay, I respect that. But, yeah, but, I mean, like, you know, I didn't even know that, remember from the dude that used to play on South Central, and then I think he played in the Parkers, too, Hakeem?
Yeah.
I didn't know he died.
Yeah.
Yeah, he died in a car accident.
Yeah, these people are going, man. You know who else from back in the days, the guy that played Juan Epstein on Welcome Back, Carter?
Oh, yeah, he died?
Died in 2011, like toward the end of 2011.
Mm.
The comedian Patrice O'Neal, who was
Patrice O'Neal,
funny,
yes. He was crazy funny, man. That was a major loss to comedy, man, right there, man. That was tragedy loss. Because that guy was funny. He had more to come, man. I mean, he'll have you cracking up, man. He had me cracking up just looking at him.
Heavy D.
Heavy D, yeah.
You know, Nick Ashford.
Nick Ashford suffered for a long time. You know, he's been pushing for a long time. He suffered, you know. You know, he did, you know, he was sick for a minute, you know. Yeah, man.
Buddy Smith, you know, the guy that played, the black guy that was in Police Academy series. I think, what was his name? Taggart?
Bubba Smith?
Yeah.
Bubba Smith, yeah. Bubba Smith passed away. Also, Steve Urkel's girlfriend passed away from cancer, Myra.
Gil Scott-Heron.
Gil Scott-Heron, yeah.
Nate Dogg.
Nate Dogg. And the thing is, the sad part about Nate Dogg is that they, you know, I hate when, you know, when somebody dies, they should just let him peace. Why you got to put all his business about? They trying to make the record producers pay his bills now. Or whoever's over his estate pay all his medical bills and all the bills he owed.
Yeah.
You know, that, I don't know. Trying to collect the money from a dead man. That's America.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Nah, you can't escape debt, even in death. You can't. It gets transferred to somebody else.
Yep.
Somebody's going to pay for it.
Which is crazy. I mean, I don't know. But can I get into my other topic now? Are you ready? Or
let's do this.
Other topic is pretty deep, too.
You
might not like it, though, huh?
What's on the docket? Uh-oh. What's on the docket?
Have you ever heard of Korean R&B singer Jennie Hung?
No, I heard of William Hung.
Well, it's a Jennie Hung, Hyung, or something like that.
Man, she...
Hyun.
Yeah, it's like Hyung.
Hyung, yeah. Jennie Hyung. She had the nerve. Now, remember, now I'm telling you, she's a Korean R&B singer. Keep in fact, that's what I'm saying, a Korean R&B singer.
Mm-hmm.
She got upset about what Floyd Mayweather said about Jeremy Lin to the Knicks. And what Floyd said is all the hoopla over Jeremy Lin is about the race card.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Floyd said.
He's partially right.
Well, she got offended by that, and she went on Twitter, Cap, and she went bananas. She went so bananas that afterwards she went into a schizophrenic, paranoid state and had to be admitted to the hospital.
Because of comments that Floyd Mayweather said about...
No, by the comments she ran it. I'm about ready to tell you some of the comments that she said about black people and about Floyd Mayweather.
So her schizophrenic...
That's what they trying to blame it on. When I tell you all the stuff she said, they trying to blame it on. She went to a schizophrenic state of mind.
Oh, okay. All right, let's go. What was it?
She said, let us know, something to Floyd about come back when your people learn how to be human, when black people learn how to be human. Right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, she was basically mad at his comment. And then she said, black people brag about muscles except the ones that count. Then she called Floyd a Neanderthal.
Mm-hmm.
Then she said, black people should worship Asians because we are subhuman. We are ungrateful apes.
Mm-hmm.
She said, black people are disgusting, disrespectful, violent, arrogant, and stupid. She said, and then she also said, so what, you have a big, you know, so do whales. Right?
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy. Now, so at least we know right now that Korean dudes they're not well hung. She made that clear for us, right?
Well, I have no comment on that, but.
Now she said, the only way blacks will advance is through white people, and it's called slavery. When I think of blacks, I think of leeching and mooching. We remind her of the flu, we remind her of cancer, and we remind her of AIDS. And so, and now this is the deepest one of them all, brother. The last one. So what Whitney Houston lost was supposed to be so much tragic, and listen to her voice. Why should I listen to, is it worth me listening to her voice with all that baggage?
Wow.
Now this is a Korean R&B singer.
Well, that just goes back to, you know, and again, I'm really all about truth, and I think, you know, healing comes through truth, and sometimes people don't want to hear truth. And the truth is, and it's been said plenty of times, and I think Paul Mooney had said it best. I mean, I'm not into using the N-word, so I won't use it, but he, you know, you can replace it with the N-word. But he was like, everybody wants to be a black person, but no one wants to be a black person. And that's what it is. It's like, you know, the infatuation, especially with the black American, you know, the infatuation with our ingenuity, our skill sets, our, you know, achievements that have been swept under the rug. Because when you look at black history, you can see how much was swept under the rug. So no one can limit us to sports and entertainment. Sports and entertainment became a big thing because during slavery, you know, the one thing you could get credit for was being an entertainer. The one thing you could be allowed to do was be an entertainer, and you may not get the money, but at least you had the credit.
The status quo.
You know, you had the credit.
Not the full, but more than the average black person.
Well, you would be seen as, okay, this is the performer. You didn't get the money, but, you know, and prior to that, you know, if you weren't just entertaining for, you know, for your slave owner, you know, any type of intelligence or learning, you were killed. And, you know, what this woman needs to do when she talks about, you know, slavery and how, you know, that's where our advancement will come from. What she's not thinking about, and because maybe she just doesn't know, because she may have read the same history that was forced down our throat. But the reason why, and we're still, it's so crazy. They've attempted to keep us back forever. And we are behind because it was by force, but considering that other races might have been wiped out and we still survived it. You know, in slavery, plenty of times you were killed. If you showed any form of intelligence, you were killed and you were set as an example for everyone else. And that's why parents weren't teaching their kids to read, because they were afraid. You're going to get killed. So imagine if a parent is telling the next kid, their kid don't read. So what is that kid going to tell his kid? You know what I'm saying? And that's how it happened. You had generations of people who were forced to not read. So, yeah, in a sense, sometimes we are a little bit behind when it comes to that, because we didn't have a comfortable structure. Our structure was horrible because it was designed that way.
Mm-hmm.
So with this woman, to say those things, to use the word slavery and everything else she said, she doesn't really understand the history. And her lash out, you know, maybe in her life, because, you know, all races, all cultures, there are groups within those cultures and races that are going to say things about other cultures and races. And there's some black people who don't display proper intelligence and be like, oh, you know, Ching Chow, or saying like derogatory things.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to get that. But at the same time, you notice she didn't lash out against the derogatory things that are being said about Jeremy Lin in the spirit of compliment. And
mm-hmm.
it's ridiculous. And it's not coming from black people. You got a picture of Jeremy Lin in a fortune cookie, and it says Nick's fortune. Like,
mm-hmm.
how derogatory is that?
Mm-hmm.
To say this guy is, like, from a Chinese restaurant, and he's in a fortune cookie. What was the other one? There were so many. Like, I couldn't believe what I was seeing.
I just better respecting him to be a good ball player, you know?
Crouching Tiger, hidden jump shot. If that's not derogatory, you know what I'm saying? Like,
and that might have been what Floyd was saying. Floyd might have been speaking up for him in a certain way. And the funny part about it that, you know, to be Korean and how many blacks have fought in the Korean War for her to be able to sing R&B. Let's excuse that fact. There was a lot of blacks that served in the Korean War. And I'm not saying, but she could have been, her family could have histories in one of those villages that was being treated bad in Korea back then. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but she's been taught that America is right and the African within America is wrong. And that's what people are taught around the world. Let's just be real. That's what they're taught around the world. They come here with the pretense that we're inferior and that we have a problem with them. So then they come displaying the problem, and then we react
mm-hmm.
because we don't understand where it's coming from. So then it really makes it look like it's true. But the bottom line is the bottom line is they're keeping the Browns separated.
Mm-hmm.
It's so divisive, and it's evil genius, but it's genius.
But if you take time to sort the problem out, and she's Korean, she would know that probably a lot of her family makes money in the black neighborhoods, in the black communities, and is supported. And that's one community that they can move in, which they are moving in. You see in Harlem, you see in the Bronx, you see in the project, there's a lot of Korean, Asian families, period, now. True or false?
Oh, yeah.
Something you never used to see in the project. You see in the project, like, there's about, in my mother's project alone, there's about a good, and her building alone is about a good 8 Asian families now. Something that growing up, when I was living there with my moms, I never saw, you know? It was just black and Hispanic. You might have an Arab guy moving there in and out, you know, or you might have the one, what they would consider to live in the project, what I hate to say would be white trash. You know, you had that homeboy you grew up with that was white, but he grew up in the hood, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And they might have been considered, you know, it might have been like an Eminem homeboy. Everybody have one of them.
I got a problem with that term, too. I'll get back to that, though, the white trash. I think it's actually a greater diss to black people, the term
mm-hmm.
white trash.
To compare them, say, well, you're living like black people, so you're white trash.
Yeah, you're white trash, so they're trash.
I felt
what
that.
What are we? You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But back to this this female who obviously
then she got sick after that, right after that, right? And after I guess after the bad press. Now her family's on the press saying, oh, we apologize, she apologized, she went to a schizophrenic thing, she's been battling with this schizophrenia for a couple of years now.
Yeah, sympathy sickness. But here's the kicker. And it goes along with everyone wants to be black, but no one wants to be black,
mm-hmm.
is how is she following what she deep down hates? And sometimes hate is derived from envy.
Mm-hmm.
People get frustrated when they're envious. So
maybe she wished she was Whitney Houston. Now, I'm going to tell you something. She might as well just go back to singing, you know, Chinese music. I mean, I don't mean to say it like that because there's nobody that's going to support her now.
You about to have your own little schizophrenic breakdown.
No. I don't mean to say it that way. I'm just saying she. No. I'm saying that she's not going to be supported by the R&B community.
You can't.
That's what I mean. Let me clarify what I say. No, let me make sure I say what I say right. She's going. I don't see nobody in the R&B community that after they hear that and all that, you know, what they can't make money off of. They might have cut the market up, especially if she had a nice voice and she get that nice song, that she had the Korean look. They might have had plans to blow her up like that, like bam, but that's in the trash now.
Oh, yeah. Now, she can forget it.
She can forget it.
She can forget it. You
that's
know.
What I was meaning. I was meaning, you know, she had to go back and sing, you know, probably in her country. You know what I'm saying? Because it's not gonna. She's not gonna sell records
so
here.
She's a Korean woman that has to go back and sing Chinese music.
Well, I haven't never heard her music, so I don't know how it sounds.
I'm just messing with you, man.
Yeah, I'm just saying she's probably gonna have to go to a new gentry, maybe pop. You know. And that might still not. You know, still.
Well,
you know,
think,
the backlash
I think,
may
I think,
follow her.
Yeah, I think her career is in the States is
shot. And, you know, that's probably why she went nuts when they told her that. And they was like, your joint ain't even started yet. You blew up.
Yeah, and what's crazy is that she became news. So it's really a problem. No one's going to want to. You know, sometimes when they say any press is good press, mm-hmm. Not in this case. She's going to have a problem because she's going to have to cater to the very people that she showed hatred for.
She's going to have to apologize in every interview that she does from this day forth.
She can forget it. No one want to hear her. I don't want to hear her apologize. Like you gave your inner feelings. You let them out. You were waiting. You know, somewhere along the line, maybe some black people said some things to her because she sings R&B. You know, there are mean people around the world of all colors and creeds. So there probably was some black, you know, this Korean, who you think you are? You think you're black? And they probably said crazy things because I've seen brothers and sisters say stupid things out of their mouth. I've mm-hmm. seen it. And maybe she soaked that all in, and I'm not giving her an excuse because, you know, I've been called plenty of things by white people, and I don't come out and lash out back at them that way. Because
mm-hmm.
it's just ignorant, you know, talk. But for all of that she took her time to write all of that, that means
Twitter.
She was believing it.
And she was throwing it out on Twitter, yeah.
Yeah, but she sat and gave it thought to write all of that, which means she spewed it before. She didn't go on, like, Wikipedia and let
mm-hmm.
me find some derogatory terms. She already had them in her.
Yeah. Well, that was the demise of her career. It's time to get into some music now, Cap.
Yeah.
No, you know, it's throwback day. We always throw back. I think I'm going to throw back on some hip-hop because last week I threw back a little R&B and a little dance, you know?
All right.
You know, this next record I'm about ready to play, man, I wanted you to use it, man, but you didn't use it, so I thought I'd play it.
All right, let's do it.
Yeah, I think we do it, man.
You can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. Can't touch this. My music hits me so hard, make me say, oh my Lord, thank you for blessing me. What am I doing? Tight, think about sweat, go past them, a white boy tape. To learn, what's it gonna take?
touch this. You can't touch this. Break it down. Touch this. You better get a hype, boy, because you know you can't touch this. Ring the bell, school's back in. Break it down. Stop. Have a time.
And watch a chump like a candle. Damn, corrupt speaker that booms. I'm killing your brain like a poisonous mushroom.
Deadly.
When I play a dope melody, anything less than the best is a felony. Love it or leave it, you better gain weight. You better hit fools out of kids, don't play. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while my DJ revolves it. Tempo. I'm on a roll, time to go solo.
Rollin'.
Hit my 5.0, put my rag top down so my hair can blow. The girl is on standby, waiting just to say hi.
Did you stop?
No, I just drove by, kept on, pursuing to the next stop. I bust a left and I'm heading to the next block. The block was dead, yo, so I continue to A1A.
Eastbound Avenue.
Girls were hot, wearing less than bikinis. Rock men love us, driving Lamborghinis.
Jealous,
cause I'm out getting mine. Shade with the gauge and vanilla with the nine.
Ready.
For the chumps on the wall, the chumps acting ill because they're full of eight balls. Gunshots ranged out like a bell. I grabbed my nine, all I heard was shells
falling
on the concrete real fast. Jumped in my car, slammed on the gas. Bumper to bumper, the avenue's packed. I'm trying to get away before the jack is jacked.
Police on the scene,
you know what I mean? They passed me up, could run it all, I don't mean. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook when my DJ revolves it.
poet.
Miami's on the scene, just in case you didn't know it. My town that created all the bass sound. Enough to shake and kick holes in the ground, cause my style's like a chemical spill. Feasible rhymes, you can vision and feel. Conducted in form, this is a hell of a concept. We make it hype, and you want us to print this. Shape plays on a fade, slice like a ninja, cut like a razor blade so fast. Other DJs say, damn, a rhyme was a drug, I'd sell it by the gram. Keep my composure when it's time to get loose. Magnetized by the mic while I kick my suit. If there was a problem, yo, I'll solve it. Check out the hook while DJ revolves it. To your mother.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You're listening to Beef Stew Radio, and it's your man, DJ Big Stew. You know what I mean? On the Throwback Monday, that's how we do it. Me and the Kappa, we start off with the urban talk, and then, you know, Kappa, he's so busy. He always got to make moves on me, man. You know what I mean? He always making moves on me. We do a show, then he jumps in that nice, beautiful car he has and breaks out and go do like a million other things. You know what I'm saying? But that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing. Like I said, we was talking about a few things, man. So, you know what I'm saying? You will see, you know, if you want to hear more, like if you tuned in late to that topic that we was talking about, you can call in, you know, you can tune in to beefstewradio.com probably like in a, I'm gonna probably say like about Wednesday, I would say maybe Thursday night, and you will be able to listen to the show again, you know what I'm saying, in its entirety. So make sure you do that if you tuned in late and you was interested and you want to hear some more about the Bobby Brown situation and Jesse Jackson, his thoughts on it, and also if you want to hear about Jenny Young, you know what I'm saying? If you want to hear about the remarks she made, the statement, the racist remarks she made, you can check her out. But we definitely in the building, man. You know how we do this. We do this every Monday. We throw it back. Like last week, I told y'all I was throwing it back to the R&B. I threw it now. I'm throwing it back to some hip-hop, man. You know what I'm saying? Man, I mean, you never know what I feel. But we're going to get into it. This is House of Pain, man. I used to get real busy to this. Let's do it. Get down.
Jump, 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 jump.
Jump, 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 jump
floating on the winds, he moves to the next, searching for the cheese, looking for the text. In the big blue, in search of the skin, grinning and laughing, laughing and grinning. Padlock Joe, they got the whole scene played. No knocking boots until she's 14K. Diamond in the back, sunroof top, waiting for the credit card to go and shop. Jack to the back, just knock another sock, cause now in the hood, he got another fight. Till one ring came, Jody blew a spark. Found about Judy round the corner in the park. Flipping like a dipstick, hip to the news. Practicing the rain, hella in the blues. Jack rolled the coffin and swift like a skate. Yo, Jody, yo, gotta go, got a date. Padlock, Jody screaming, wait, wait, wait. Don't worry, hun, he replies, I'm keeping the faith. Baseball with you again, yo. I never do the baseball with you, cause your hoochie coo was so smooth. Was it such a sin to let me in? Hooked by your ever so shyness, broke that bush, heard you from Flatbush. Ran after you, caught you, brought you to Long Island, styling for a while. In my hut, I was on a cut for a pet. A silly crack pet, you try to play me new, plug when you disconnect. I try to touch your hair,
you say no.
Yo, I try to touch your
you head, say no.
Is it cause you want my financial flaunt? First you gotta please me. But I guess you want that empty verse, so it's damn plug first to see. We got a serious block, turn the other way. Ooh, what do I spot? A whoopin' hey love who sent that the trace had a stash of Apache with a body that's safe. All to the A, now you wanna swing, forget the rap, yo black sheep sing.
Your band, your band, your band, honey dip, your band, your band. Your band.
Yo, you're banned by the preacher, man. You played yourself a school, now to me a step. Never mind, love, the faith is being kept. But laying ain't exact, cause the past 4 or 5 she was laying by the pack. Tips to the witness, putting on a plan. No money, no more putty cat for the man. Jack knows that honey rings playing a game. Woman want a Bogart man for the fame. Ah, dang, damn. Sam is the man that you plan to command. Nothing new about a neighborhood. You know what? Padlock Jody wanna cut. Jack think your cap ain't minor to attack.
Yo, here's 20, 40, 60 penny guy.
Conscious the biz, yo, Jack, what you doing? You play the co-op, honey. You don't have to if you don't want to. You don't have to if you don't want to. So he begins with the ring, ring, ring. Hey, Judy, girl, how you doing? Seen you with another man, what you doing? Screw and through, shame on you. What you can't wait for the big fake? Well, I'ma tell you straight on it, child. I'm keeping a fake.
Demo. We in the building. Yeah, you know how we do it, man. Beef Stew Radio, DJ Big Stew. I'm in the building, man. Make sure you tune in Thursday night. I'll be interviewing my man C-Loke, the legendary C-Loke from the Dirty South. You might remember C-Loke from being on No Limits joint. He was one of the first artists back in the days on No Limits. He was on that song with Master P. How you do that there, you know? So we're going to be talking to C-Loke, man. We've been talking about all the history of Dirty South and hip, you know, Dirty South hip-hop, because he's a big part of that as a CEO also. So you know, signing a few artists and bringing them out, you know, artists such as the great Lil Boosie, you know what I'm saying, from the Dirty South. And for that, yo, for the young cats in Harlem that don't know, and be like, yo, I'm a young Jeezy fan, all them cats is hot and they fire, but Lil Boosie is the man in the South. That's real talk, man. When I found that out, man, it bugged me out. Son be doing concerts, man, underground concerts that need a stadium, man. You know what I mean? He had that underground music, that Dirty South underground music that represents, you know? So I've been playing a little Boosie joint on my show, man. Him and Hurricane Chris, Grand Reaper, the mix that nobody ever put out. My people from the Dirty sent me that. I played that, man, a few times. If you want to hear it, I'll definitely be playing it Thursday night, that same night, when CeeLo be in the building. But yeah, tune in that night, man, to, you know, the underground showcase with DJ Big Stu. I mean, you know, people can ask you that, yo, how come you got so many shows? Because I'm on every day, and I just don't want to do the same thing every day. You know, I just want to play different music every day, and then some people is playing different music on the show. Like, you know, you got one show that might be playing a lot of new hip-hop, and then there's another show that might be playing some alternative and abstract music, and then it's me. You know, I come back with my old-school hip-hop. I take you back with the dance, and you know, on Fridays and with Ladies Night. And on Mondays, I do my thing with you on the throwbacks. Tuesday, I play the Tasty Tuesday things. Wednesday, I do it up hard with the new hip hop. And Thursday, it's the unsigned underground. You know, the unsigned and the underground thing. Friday, we're doing it. Saturday, we're doing the Uptown Saturday Jam, where it could go anywhere. It could be hip hop. It could be new school. It could be old school. It could be anything with the Uptown Saturday Jam. It just be whatever I'm feeling at the moment. And then we back on Sundays with Drinks on Russ, and I might be playing a lot of new and old with Drinks on Russ, and I'm back Mondays right back here again. So, yo, I got all these days, man, so I just try to fulfill my time and play all type of music, man. That's how I feel. I feel like I'm an expert on music. You know what I'm saying? And I'm telling you, don't never sleep on me, because I will come in here and play some REO, Speedwagon, and some Wings, and, you know, Paul McCartney. You know, I'm just about that, man. You know what I'm saying? I'm a hip-hop brother. When people be mean, like, they be, a lot of people bug out on me because they be like, yo, you so hardcore, hip-hop out, and juried and iced out, drive nice hard, but you riding around playing Barbra Streisand. If I like a song, I like a song. That's just how I am. You know what I mean? It don't matter what race, what creed, what color, what gentry. I just like music. You know what I'm saying? So I grew up off a lot of music. My mom used to listen to a lot of music. She listened to rock and roll. She listened to soul. She listened to gospel. And she listened to, you know, the hits. And I grew up listening from anything from the Jacksons to the Monkees to the Beatles to Paul McCartney to Captain and Tennille to, you know, to War to, you know what I'm saying, to Curtis Mayfield. So, you know, that's how my rise has got really enlightening. That's why you see what you see sometimes when I do music. I play different type of music, different type of stuff. So, and that's why my remixes be so abstract. But I think, you know, Mom Dukes helped me be a professional music critic. That's when you be talking. That's what be DJ Big Stu is. I'm a music critic, man. I'm a music lover, fan of music, fan of the technology of music. And that's what it is. Tomorrow night, I will be on Taste of Hip Hop Cookers at 10 p.m. Kev Get His Cook On. You know what I'm saying? He's doing his thing now, you know, blowing up now. Kev Get His Cook On. Actually, the expansion of the brothers, they both blowing up, you know, they doing their own things, staying friendly, you know. That's how it is, man. That's, you know, just brothers expanding, brothers branching off, and, you know, brothers, you know, just climbing and getting to new heights. Big shouts out to Kev Get His Cook On and Drinks on Russ. They building that foundation that's going to go real, real far. Tomorrow night. You tune in tonight because you're tuning in tonight with me. But damn sure tune in tomorrow night with Kev Get His Cook On. I will be on the ones and twos. Who knows who will pop in. I know there's going to be a lot of callers tomorrow. And the topic of tomorrow is, what is a friend? I think that's the topic, you know. What do a friend mean to you? So, you know, if you want to call in tomorrow and you want to speak on that topic, what do a friend mean to you, make sure you call a tip, Taste the Hip Hop Cooking tomorrow. You know, you can call the 800, the toll-free number, 877-288-6883. You can call that number tonight if you feel like talking. I usually don't take no callers, but if you want to feel like calling and you felt like you want to say something about Jenny Young, or you want to say something about how they treated Bobby Brown, you know, I'm a put Britney in the pieces. I'm going to jump into a young Grand Poobah, man, when he was back out in the days with the joint crackers out, man, and I'm going to come back, man, and talk some more, and we're going to be doing what we do.
You are what you are.
It sounds nutty to me.
Well, how nutty?
So nutty, people going plum crazy.
Come on, the Maxwell. You think it's like that?
Busta Polly wants some cracker. She said she wants some crack.
You're right.
Get your hair. What little sis said?
What?
Crack it. I thought you shook my head and said, you mess with crack, it better be while I'm dead. Cause if I ever catch you, I'll punch you in your head.
All the friends, all the friends.
Throw your friends a broom. I kick the plain and simple. The coke and smoke and mojo.
Yo, sissy, kid you not.
Believe me, sweetheart.
Well, look, don't you ever try it.
Cause then it'll rip you right apart. Cause all I hear is, and crack is all they do. I hate to be the one who thinks of someone that I knew.
Well, I got a homie, he does it all night. I tell him, get your big lips off of that mic.
Feline. couldn't resist. I said it ain't like that, and he said why? Because I'm doing this dance called the feedlock.
I featured artists of the day. I'm going to do some stuff. I'm going to play a few joints of the early LL. Let y'all hear young LL. You know, that's what I'm going to do today, man. You know what I'm saying? Because I always feature a featured artist. And I'm an LL fan. I think LL's an artist with a lot of longevity. And this was actually his first album. And this is one of the first joints that really blew him up out in the world, man. So, and I'm going to play a couple of joints off of this album, man, just to let y'all know some history about LL. Remember, we're still in the end of February, and I'm going to consider LL History and Black History Month for hip-hop. So that's what we're doing. He's our featured artist of the day. Peace out.
And your radio, that's where my record's on. So get off the wall, become involved. All your radio problems have not been solved. My treacherous beats make your ears respond. And my radio loud like a fire alarm. The floor vibrates, the wall cave in. The bass makes my eardrum seem thin. Death sounds in my ride, yes, the front and back. You would think it was a party, not a Cadillac.
Radio, and I'm cold getting paid, cause Rick said so. Make the woofers won't, cause I'm mad at money and your boyfriend don't. LL, what the hell gonna rock the bells? Or you washed up rap, wanna do this well? Rock the bells! DJ's name,
Cut Creator.
Oh, no, what do you know, Earl?
that flesh gets scorned. You feel bad, make it feel like you ain't wanting to be born, John. Tell your friends, say the hell out of my lawn. Chicken drawers, we can't get your stealing chicken from my phone.
Yeah, yeah.
Another dead kitchen. If you're my theosis, then I'm bringing all hate to Sicilian. Nobody took me. My body made a hand grenade. Girl bled to death while she was sunk in the razor blade. That sounds sick. Maybe one day I'll write the horror. Black and I come to the ghetto. Jack and Joshua. CD1 to CD crack baby.
Homies nag me to take the dust out of the bag.
my hand. Next time I roll it in a hamper to burn slow, so the ashes won't be burning in my hand, bruh. Hoogees get hit, but they know they got a pitch and bent. I roll a joint that's longer than your extension, cause I'll be damned if you get high off me for free. Hell no, you better bring your own slip, chief. What's up, don't babysit that, better pass the joint. Stop hitting cause you know you got asthma. Crack the 40 open, homie, and guzzle it, cause I know the weed in my system is getting lonely. I gotta take a whiz test of my P.O. I know I feel cause I done smoked major weed, bro. And every time we with Chris, that fool rolling up a fatty, but the Tango race straight had me. Made my yesterday thing, got me hung off the night train. You made our fake, so let's head to the east. Hit the stroll to 9-0 so we can roll big hot sheets. I wish I could fade the 8, but I'm no budget. Still rolling the 2 though, cut the same old bucket. Foggy window, soggy endo. I'm in the land, getting smoke with my kids.
Up in smoke, yuck, I spray your layer down. Up in the OAK, the town. Homies don't play around, we down to blaze a pound. Then ease up, speed up through the ESO. Drink the VSOP up with the lemon squeeze up. And everybody's roller. I'm the roller, that's quick to fold a blunt out of a bunch of sticky doja. Hold up, suck up my weed, it's all you need kicking. Cause we're IBs, we need to have like a fool.
Change your clothes once more, cause you're invited to a barbecue to start at 4.
sitting with your friends, y'all reminisce about the days growing up and the first person you kissed. And as I think back, makes me wonder how the smell from a grill can spark off nostalgia. All the kids playing out front, little boys messing around with the girls playing double dutch, while the DJ spinning a tune as the old folks dance at your family reunion. Then 6 o'clock rolls around, you just finished wiping your car down. It's time to cruise, so you go to the summertime hangout. It looks like a car show. Everybody come looking real fine, fresh from the barbershop, a fly from the beauty salon. Every moment frontin' and maxin', chillin' in the car, they spend all day waxin', leanin' to the side, but you can't speed through, 2 miles an hour, so everybody sees you. There's an air of love and of happiness, and this is the Fresh Prince's new definition of summer madness.
Mighty good man I am. The new version of Salt and Pepper, DJ Big Stu Mix. What a mighty good man I am. Gonna be out in stores near you real soon. Just to evaluate what's going on here. What's going on here is I'm in the building throwing down and throwing it back and dropping some of the hottest joints that I could do. That's what's going on. Feeling real good up in the building. Make sure you tune in tomorrow night. Taste the Hip Hop Cooking. I'll be on the Wheels of Steel. Then I'll be back here Wednesday night with the book club review. We will be interviewing. You know what I'm saying? I don't have the paper right in front of me right now, but I shouldn't even have said it. But, you know, I'm going to come back and let you know who we're going to be interviewing. Oh, okay. We're going to be interviewing on Wednesday night with Gail Martin. Yeah, she wrote a book about social media marketing. So all you people that want to learn about how to market your business and use social media like Facebook and Linkage and, you know, all these things that I've stumbled upon. So if you want to get your best knowledge on how to use that to upstart your up-and-coming business. And this is good for independent record labels. This is good for people that's trying to start little graphic companies or anybody that's trying to do something small, like a small business, and you're trying to build it up to something. You should tune in to on Wednesday night, man, and get some knowledge from Ms. Gail Martin, because she will be putting it down. I'm going to even use some of the knowledge herself to promote my own station, Beef Stew Radio, and to keep me upgraded in the social market. You can never learn, not learn too much, you know what I mean? That's what it is. But we in the building. Oh, Miss K Nicole is supposed to have an interview too, so it's going to be real good. I heard she has a real good guest coming up on the show, so I'll probably let you know about who's her guest tomorrow. I know her guest is a real good guest with a nice book that's really out and it's kind of deep. So, you know, we're getting, they're coming to Beast 2 Radio, man. They coming to the thing, you know. Tomorrow night is supposed to be a great show. Last night, give a congratulations to Drinks on Russ debut on Beast 2 Radio. Russ Hayward did his thing last night. Yeah, you know, he has a nice show. Had his people call in. People definitely called in, and it is what it is. It's Beast 2 Radio. We bigging, we blowing up. We got it going down all across the board, 7 days a week, 7 days of entertainment. Like I said, I'm just shocked. I'm feeling good. Me and Kappa broke down a lot of stuff earlier today. So, you know, that's, we got some more news, but I don't know if I should go into it because I don't really feel like, you know, going back to that, man. You know what I mean? I don't really feel like going back to that story. I think I'm going to just leave that story alone. You know what I'm saying? Definitely leave that story alone because it bothers me. So, you know, I'm going to leave that story alone. But once again, I'm going to give a shout-out to my man, Bobby Brown, man. You my man. So, you know, prayers be with you. Prayers be with Bobby Christina. Prayers be with Sissy Houston. And prayers be with everybody else who love Whitney Houston. You know, we've been blowing her up all this week. And, you know, I think it's time we just let her. I was telling everybody on the station, we're just going to let her just rest in peace, and we say all the good stuff about it and just remember all the good about Whitney Houston. But we're going to get into some more old-school hip-hop before we get up out of here, man. It's almost my time to get up out of here, man. You know, I'm pushing the 1:30 thing. So, you know, I'll be out of here at 1:30, man, doing other gigs. I got to go do a quick gig, go be on the Wheels of Steel 2 hours downtown in Midtown, you know, be on there 2 hours, and I'll be heading home to go to sleep, man, grab me up some Chinese food and hit the crib, man. No, I think I'm gonna get me a little bit of General Torso's chicken after I do my little set tonight in the club. But I'm gonna play some more right now before I get up out of here, man. I'm gonna keep it old school, I'm gonna keep it throwback, and I'm gonna keep it hip hop because that's what I do. Yes, sirree, Bob. We in the building.
Dreaming, you fall in love and you be screaming, dreaming. settle like a road getting paid late. So better lay low, scheming on hot money and the whole show. The low throw hoe should be cut like an afro. So what you saying, huh? She's one of you, but I know she's a loser. How did you know? Me and the crew used to do her.
There was one particular girl that stood out from the rest. Poison as can be with a high power chest. Michael Bivens here, and I'm running the show. Bell, Biff DeVoe. Now you know.
Poison.
been doing time for a crime you say you didn't even do. The only fool that you're fooling is the fool that is you. Didn't even turn around and check to see your victim's friend. I guess it's stupid what they say, they would stop living, there's no learning. And this is from the J, the O, and the E. Mary, 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 it's quite contrary. Yo, how did you earn your dough? Job, but to the human eye, it's pretty simple. You're always talking about what you want is respect, but never thinking about the little boy you neglect. Spending his formative years in a living hell, not realizing one day he'd end up in jail. Now on the other hand, if damn, my man who planned the scam, man, I'll be damned, it was the ultimate friend slam. He was saying that it was easy as pie, but little did Dan know he was about to die.
Do this. Yo, what's up,
y'all? What's up?
Home. Boys are in effect,
yeah.
And it's about time.
Yo, let's rip this up.
to you. no one else. I just want you to know that I'll do for you.
But time on how I feel and what's on my mind. Is you that I wanna be in my life, and if it's possible, you will be my wife. I'll lead you in the right direction, of course. Never play you out, so there's no loss. I'll be your love daddy, just wait and see that me and you, we were meant to be. Clean, get your bubble bath ready so I can rub you with Noxzema, and watch how gentle I'll be when I rub your back, and after that just in a ring, Toniac, a little romance for the quiet storm, and a lot of loving for the whole night long. I'm gonna...
Yeah, man, we had a great show, man. You know what I'm saying? I want to thank everybody for listening once again. It's your man DJ Big Stu on the Monday Throwback, right after the Urban Talk with DJ Big Stu and the Kappa. We in here jamming. We had some great topics today, and we definitely played some great music today. So, you know what I'm saying? Make sure y'all tune in tomorrow night to Taste of Hip Hop Cooking. Tune in on Wednesday night to the Book Review Club. Definitely tune in to me on the Underground Showcase on Thursday night. You gotta catch K Nicole on Friday night doing her thing with Ladies Night. So, you know what I'm saying? I want to thank everybody for tuning in to BeefStewRadio.com. BeefStewRadio.com. That's the name of the station. That's the name of the family. That's what we do. We're doing it real big. Just played a little Father MC for y'all. Remind y'all about when Puff was doing his thing back in the days. So, you know, that's how we doing it. So we getting busy in the building. Make sure you hit the website, www.beastblueradio.com. Check out the older shows if you missed the show. You know what I'm saying? Just want you to do that. Just want you to know that. So we about ready to get up out of here, man. I just want to tell everybody so long. Good night.
This pot smells delicious, and it's the base for our ultimate beef stew.